Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining our weekly call again. I want to start with just a couple of positive stories. This past weekend, communities all across the Navajo Nation observed a 57-hour curfew, and that curfew was warranted to help curb the spread of the virus, but it was also a real challenge, and it put already isolated families in an especially challenging place for food security in some communities. I helped connect an effort between the New Mexico Wildlife Federation and Alamo Navajo Chapter President Buddy Mexicano, and this effort led to the installation of emergency communications equipment from Verizon to provide internet and cell service, not to mention the delivery of hundreds, if not more than 1,000 pounds of processed game meat and other essentials like hand sanitizer to residents of the Alamo Navajo Indian Reservation. I was really impressed with how sportsmen across the state stepped up to make this happen, to help feed these families and to do it in a way that didn't put anyone's health at risk along the way. And given the Alamo chapter's long cultural affinity with hunting, it was really just a great story and a great fit. We've also seen our state's two national laboratories really step up to address major technical challenges during this pandemic. Both Sandia and Los Alamos are working on ways to internally test their workforce and eventually contribute to the testing of the population at large. Just this week, Sandia also announced that it will be able to work with the state of New Mexico to provide CPAP machines that have been converted for use as ventilators. This could make an enormous difference in shoring up critical equipment for our healthcare response and making sure that we have enough ventilators. Additionally, I'm pleased that New Mexico agreed to participate in a pilot program to improve and expand contact tracing for coronavirus infections in efforts to better isolate outbreaks. I had been asking Ambassador Dr. Burks for boots on the ground to assist the New Mexico Department of Health, and that now looks very promising based on the conversation that she had with the governor yesterday. New Mexico has consistently been among the top states in testing per capita for COVID infections, and frankly, that is why our numbers have not been as calamitous as other states. We've also had an incredible response to the Hometown Heroes initiative that we launched to highlight New Mexicans who are stepping up to help during the pandemic. My office has heard from hundreds of New Mexicans who nominated heroes in their communities, and I want to tell you just a couple of those stories as well. Sherry Hooper and her team at the Food Depot in Santa Fe have been coordinating and executing an emergency effort to feed tens of thousands of families across our state who are experiencing food insecurity. As one of the folks who nominated her wrote, Sherry's steady leadership, compassion, and unparalleled management skills make her a true hometown hero. We've also heard from many, many New Mexicans who are sewing masks and other protective equipment for healthcare workers and for everyone to wear and help contain the spread of this virus. You all might have seen the mask that my mother-in-law sent me. We posted that on my Instagram, and I've been really proud to see all of the coordinated efforts to scale up production of protective equipment domestically around our state. The Bernalillo County Fire Department has partnered up with the Southwest Creations Collaborative, which employs local women in Albuquerque, to manufacture masks and gowns for fire department personnel on the front line of this crisis. Volunteers in Las Cruces have set up shop in the old Doñana County Courthouse as Operation Mask Up, and they are manufacturing masks for seniors, for hospitals, and for clinics. I'd also like to commend our most frequently nominated mask maker so far in our Hometown Heroes initiative. Melissa Hart is a small business owner. She actually owns Stitchology. It's a small fabric store in Albuquerque's North Valley. And even though she had to temporarily close her business, Melissa is helping address the shortage of masks by donating fabric and creating kits for volunteers to literally sew thousands of masks. That's the type of community spirit that will help our state get through this long emergency. These stories of heroes all around New Mexico should give us all hope that we're going to get through this, and we're going to get through this together. It may not feel like it, but each of us who are staying home and caring for each other are also making a real difference that is saving lives, the lives of our fellow New Mexicans, and building a stronger future for our communities. Next, I'd like to briefly tell you about some of my efforts to hold the administration accountable for the implementation of programs established in the CARES Act, while also working on new legislation to provide additional funding and resources to small businesses, workers, hospitals, and state and local governments on the front lines of the coronavirus pandemic. As we witness deadly outbreaks of the coronavirus in tribal communities, including the Navajo Nation, Zuni, Dia, San Felipe Pueblos, and others, we must continue to fight for the resources that our tribal neighbors need as well. Earlier this week, Senator Udall and I sent a letter to FEMA Administrator Peter Gaynor asking him to increase the federal cost share to 100% for all eligible emergency protective measures undertaken by tribal nations during the pandemic. I've also discussed this issue directly with Administrator Gaynor, and I will keep doing so. As tribal nations confront this pandemic and take on unprecedented costs, they must be assured full and complete protection of their resources, their land, and their livelihoods. I'm also holding the administration accountable for prioritizing public health over political gain. At a time when we are confronting an unprecedented global health crisis, we need to use all of our efforts to get our communities life-saving healthcare resources. The administration should frankly not be recklessly pressing forward with building the president's border wall right now. Doing so right now transforms a symbol of hate into an instrument of destruction for smaller border communities like Columbus. Bringing large groups of construction workers into small communities, placing them in cramped living quarters, will inevitably risk the health of local residents, especially when they already lack the healthcare infrastructure to deal with this public health crisis. I've also led the New Mexico congressional delegation in demanding immediate answers from the administration on how it is handling the coronavirus pandemic at ICE facilities like the Otero Processing Center, where both an employee and a migrant have now tested positive for COVID-19. This is about humane treatment of migrants and employees at these facilities, something I have long demanded. But it's also just about protecting the staff and the surrounding communities. In the midst of the current stay-at-home measures, I also recognize that there is an increased risk of both domestic violence and child abuse. And the programs that work to reduce violence in our communities and ensure survivors get the essential support they need are being strained during the midst of this pandemic. That's why I'm calling on Congress to prioritize funding to support victims and survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, including through the programs already authorized by the Violence Against Women Act. Finally, I'm working to make sure that no New Mexican is left behind in the economic recovery. As you might have seen, I'm agreeing to serve on a White House task force comprised of both senators and members of the House to provide counsel to the president on reopening the American economy in the aftermath of this pandemic. I hope that serving on this task force will allow me to offer honest advice to the president. As someone with a background in science, I strongly believe that we have to use the best data, the best scientific and medical expertise as our guide. When I spoke to the president this morning, I made it clear that expanding our testing capacity for those with the virus and those with the virus who do not have symptoms is absolutely essential for us to be able to reopen the economy. It's also critical that we have a comprehensive plan for the economy when we reopen it, because this is not like a light switch. It's not a one or a zero, a black or white. It's more like a dimmer switch that we will dial back up based on case metrics and our ability to test the population. This will require inclusive thinking and extensive planning. And as New Mexico senator, I am also fighting to ensure that our long-term economic recovery does not leave anyone behind, especially our rural communities and Indian country. We have a moral responsibility to make sure every single American whose life and livelihood has been upended by this crisis is made whole when this is over. In the meantime, I'm focused on making sure that small businesses and nonprofits can get the assistance they need from the Paycheck Protection Program and the Economic Injury Disaster Loans and Grants from the Small Business Administration. We need the Treasury Department to designate more of our financial institutions as SBA-eligible lenders for these loans. And on Tuesday morning, I convened a panel of experts in New Mexico to hear directly from small business owners and nonprofit leaders and to answer their questions about accessing these programs. We had hundreds of New Mexicans from across the state participate in this forum, and we've had some progress on getting these funds to the businesses in our state. According to figures released by the SBA earlier this week, more than 5,300 loans in New Mexico, totaling more than $1.1 billion, have been approved by the SBA under the PPP alone. And to be clear, obligated loan figures do not necessarily represent funds that have actually been dispersed. But I want to say once again that I share the frustration of so many business owners right now at how long it's taken for the administration to implement these programs. When so many of our small businesses and nonprofits simply can't hold out another week, there is no foot dragging or poor execution that is acceptable at this point. Negotiations are underway as we speak to refund the PPP program and the EIDL loans through the Small Business Association. But we also have to fix those programs to make more of New Mexico's smallest businesses eligible for those funds. Finally, as Congress weighs future public health and economic relief bills, I want to make sure that we don't forget about New Mexico's small and rural communities. Rural communities in New Mexico either will face or are already facing enormous economic burdens and costs in an effort to respond to this pandemic. It's crucial that we should provide the same direct emergency assurances to smaller towns, to counties and cities, and grant them the same stability that has been provided for larger metro areas. That's why I'm taking the lead in the Senate in introducing the Coronavirus Community Relief Act, which will provide $250 billion in stabilization funding specifically targeted for localities with populations under 500,000. And I'm proud to lead this effort in the Senate and appreciate Congressman Ben Ray Lujan's leadership in the House on this bill to expand upon the CARES Act and open up this critical funding so that no community, big or small, is left behind.